this meeting of the Library Joint Powers Authority Board for Monday, January, Monday, January 30th is called to order. After an initial discussion, I was selected among the two board members here to serve as chair of the meeting. And by roll call, Sam Story and David Terrazas are present.
Okay. So, Council Member Terrazas?
Present.
Council Member Story?
Still present.
Okay, is there a motion to approve the agenda of January 30th?
Oh, I'm happy to make that motion, but I would like to ask if we could maybe discuss item C before we discuss item B.
Okay.
Sounds good.
And with that little revision, I'll move that we approve the agenda as stated.
I second and vote in favor.
And I vote in
favor. Okay, so I will... I'll make the motion to approve the minutes of November 28. Those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Oral communications? No. Any staff reports, starting with a mid-year status report, please?
Okay, so we're halfway through the year, and we're looking pretty good. 50% of the year expended, and... as we heard from the Library Financing Authority, our sales tax are up a bit. So that reflects the 56% in sales tax. Otherwise, on revenues, the overall rental revenues is at 53%. There really isn't, unless there's questions on the revenues. Okay, expenditures are also doing fine. There's a few that are really high. They're either related to the new online system, buildings and facilities. There's the Aptos project, which the board authorized additional extra funding for and hasn't been put in there. I will take this moment to announce that our account clerk, too, resigned last week, effective tomorrow. So we're not going to fill the position right away. We're having some temp filling of it as we look at the position to see what we really need. And some of it is in helping me with some of the reporting that I'm getting that hasn't been clear. And, you know, like, why, you know, the Aptos money is showing at 62%. At what point do we take the money that the board authorized and put it in there to cover that? So we'll be dealing with some of these issues in the coming months and studying a little more closely, because I wasn't getting all the information I always needed in the most timely and helpful fashion. We did get approved for E-rate. We finally got that, so we should start seeing the telecommunications line looking a little bit better. It takes a couple months for it to all start kicking in. Library functional supplies looks really low, but we're about to start getting material shelf ready, and that's going to cost us, I'm not sure the actual cost per item, but it's going to be more expensive, and that will come out of there, so we'll see that line go pretty soon. We've been blessed with a warm winter for utility costs, maybe not for drought purposes, but so those costs are a little bit low. Office furniture and equipment's a little bit low, but Kira comes back on Wednesday, and we'll start spending that line. resources have been slim. So there's really nothing, we're doing okay. We're just, you know, pretty much sailing along on expenditures. Were there any particular questions? Personnel's doing well. Anything, Sam?
Yeah, I did have a question. I just noted one line, special vacation pay.
Where is that?
On
the personnel line?
On personnel section.
What page is that? That's
page one. They all seem to say page one.
Page on the numbers.
Page 800,000.
That would be, my guess is that's going to be payoff for people that were laid off.
Okay. And, I thought maybe they're associated with the retirement, early retirement.
Yeah, and all of that, yeah.
And that's why it's, and so it probably won't be reoccurring. But it was, you know, those whole harmless arrangements that we authorized for you to bargain with the SEIU, how is that reflected in our, did it just come out of reserves or is it built into?
That's the kind of question that I need. We're interviewing for a new finance director tomorrow.
Oh, that's right, to replace Jack.
So between that and my account clerk, I don't have a good sense of, they may wait until we go over the line and then put money into it.
Oh, then from reserve, they've been there.
But as while we're still doing okay, they don't seem to move money over. It's like the same thing, the Aptos building, we know that we incurred, what, $15,000, $20,000 that the board said, yeah, here, you can use reserve for it, yet it's not showing on here that we used reserve to cover that. So that's one of the questions I have not been able to get a good answer to, and I hopefully will soon. But our fund balance is healthy. I mean, we're sitting here with $1 million in cash flow, so if we need to dip into that, that's
We did authorize it for it to be spent from the reserves if necessary, and so
The authorization is there should we need it. So.
Okay.
But right now, personnel line is still under expended. So even with everything that we've paid out, they haven't had to. And we actually haven't started paying into the Y rating part yet. That will just start now.
Yeah.
Maybe as a part of developing the 12-13 budget, or that we could get a handle on what those total costs were, how much
I
we're
just
going
to, got right. The spreadsheets a couple of days ago. I asked for the spreadsheets that they used to create those estimates,
okay.
And I just got them. I'm having a chance to look at them, but I do have
good. All right.
See, I would think we would be revising just our allocation for personnel costs, you know, revise it upward based on, so it wouldn't be, you know, in terms of like a mid-year adjustment or something to show an increase for those amounts. But how would it be attributed to me?
This.
Yeah, it seemed like a good idea. You could just plug it in since.
Yeah,
you
just need to tell me about like you're asking.
The problem is the budget we started for at the beginning of this year for personnel was really just, was even more of a guess than a budget usually is because we kind of knew this was happening. So they seem kind of reluctant to make adjustments based on what we say is going to happen and when it does happen. But I'll check into it. But I can ask Cheryl, but I'm getting good answers lately.
Because currently, even midway, you're $500,000 in revenues ahead of expenditures. And so, even if you just threw that cost in here, I project you would still be within your overall. I mean, that line may be over, but I think overall.
Yeah, they don't seem to. I mean, I've got the authorization, I've got several authorizations from the board for the $30,000 for those capital maintenance things that came up, and the Y rating, and then the extra $100,000 fudge factor for we're not sure what's going to happen with the model, and nobody seems to want to put that into the line anywhere until we need it. But I can ask if there's
maybe like in a closed session, like a personnel update, you can find out what that amount is.
Well, not necessarily. I don't know if it needs to be closed session because I assume everybody knows about it. I mean, it just seemed like in this process of now that we're starting to look toward next fiscal year 12-13 and develop that budget,
right.
Having a full recap of where we may stand in terms of, and it's all about reserve amounts. How much reserves are we going to have? How much are the expenses are we going to need, to meet the priorities in the 12-13 budget, and just, having a handle on all that would make me feel more comfortable.
I think once we have the January personnel line, that will help, because we can tell, we'll be able to tell what the January cost us. And then that would now enable us to then guesstimate that if this is what we spent in January, that's what we're going to spend for the next 6 months.
Yeah, okay.
And we should have that.
That's true.
We should have that by next month. So.
Okay.
But I will ask about board authorized extra expenditures. When do we get them, or how do we get them?
And how are they shown in the budget?
Make a note for January personnel, extrapolate to June. Y rating is what I've been meaning to sit down with. And when we talk about the upcoming budget, I'll kind of tell you where things are at. So any other questions on expenditures? Okay. And like I said, the fund balance is now over $1 million. I also found it interesting that the County Library Financing Authority estimates, they were only estimating increased sales taxes for the first half of the year by that much, but nothing for the second half of the year.
Yeah, we're very conservative.
So, my guess is that we're going to have something.
You would think.
Because that didn't even include Christmas.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to predict what, and they didn't give us any more than that for next year either, so it's really kind of hard to plan. You know, what do we base a budget on? I mean, that's going to make a big difference.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of agencies are having that trouble as far as planning, forecasting what the revenues are going to be moving forward.
It was just, I think being very conservative and only putting the increase that we knew about instead of trying to project more.
It just doesn't seem to me like it. If people spent that much more in the first half of the year, maybe they won't keep up that same level, but things don't seem to be getting worse. So, but we'll see. We'll see how the next couple months come in. Okay, so you wanted to skip next to budget priorities. You wanted to change the order. Okay. I was looking back, I was trying to find what I wrote last year and realized I didn't because we were involved in the task force model, so I never did do a priorities for next year. So actually there wasn't really, in my mind, a whole lot to consider. I'm making the assumption the board would like to maintain the cash flow reserve. I did go back to what we had projected for the next 5 years, and we didn't start building for the cash reserve until 13-14. So in 12-13, I said we don't need it that much money, but we didn't have it in 12-13. We put it out to 13-14. So I think, your point about what do we have in reserve by the time we finish with all the rest of this would give us a good indication whether we need to put anything aside. So I'll keep that in mind. And
the main part that I wanted to focus on was the staff recommendation here to delay the increased hours to September. And I guess that's the part.
Yeah, well.
And I'm just wondering, is that a fiscal concern or just a process concern?
Process concern. There's just no way. What I put HR through this last year and fall, they're not going to let me do it again. So unless you approve a budget in about April, which is pretty unlikely. I mean,
it is. I think if we were all motivated and realized that HR, you needed that amount of time. And I know there's a schedule of, there's supposed to be a public hearing on the first presentation, and that's the most key part, developing and having a public hearing and then adopting it. So, and I don't have that exactly memorized, but
yeah.
If some way that we could speed up that process so that the budget's adopted and we're able to stay on schedule.
I think it's I've got to get figures from the city for personnel and those numbers and kinds of things. It's possible, but it's not very likely, and it would require some special meetings in April, I'm sure, to do it.
I hear what you're saying. But if there are, I mean, because we also asked for metrics to look at, you know, what how the first level increases have been to see whether or not there have been increases. And we want to have time to consider, you know, the next steps moving forward. So is it just the language? I mean, like if we would say it may not be possible or something, just at least to have that so that the discussion takes place.
Well, I mean, what you said that, well, the budget has to be adopted in April before we're able to stay on.
Yeah,
if you want to start
the hours in July, yeah.
Right. And I would maybe just put it out that way, okay, saying here's what the, and it's an accelerated, aggressive timeline if we're going to meet the July deadline, and we could talk around that, okay, and seeing what the difficulties may be. If, in fact, we have a very healthy reserve, like we would have the ability to work within certain broad ranges, okay, margins of error. We don't necessarily have to, you know, hone it down to this many positions, you know, that are going to cost exactly this. And so that's why I was asking, is it some part of a budgetary concern? If we have $1 million reserve and are scheduled to have a surplus even at the end of this fiscal year, it seems like that pressure is off. And so we can be more generalized about it, and then because we'll have the funding to be able to cover it.
I think one of the things, though, too, because of the staff cutbacks, I can imagine that there's going to be that transition period to, it's not just the resources, it's a matter of having the personnel resources to actually manage those increases.
You mean the hiring? You know, the actual process.
To ramp up.
Well, that's what, I mean, you were saying when you said we need the budget adopted in April in order to then start that whole hiring process.
There's an additional issue here, and that's the city. And you may not care whether it's position by position, but they do. And when we pass a budget and we give that budget to the city, it has to be, here's the position, here's the hours. Here's their classification, here's their hours. And budget is done by individual name. And let me.
So you can put it in your budget, the city's overall budget? I don't understand that.
No. The classification as far as how they actually assign it for their budget.
The way this, yeah, it does go, our personnel piece, it's no longer an actual, the city council doesn't approve it anymore, but it needs to go to the city in entering it into the budget, which is through the city, because we're using their financial program, has to be position by position. Now let me just backtrack for a second. I met today with my senior managers. We had a half-day retreat, and we talked about first initially, the increased hours, what schedule would that look like? Because we needed that before we could staff it. So we came up with a schedule that we thought was reasonable. We talked, we only have less than a month's experience with the new model. And so we had long discussions about where the pressure points are. And are those pressure points because we're not staffed correctly or because we're still adjusting and we still have some tweaking to do? And it was a combination of both. And we knew there were going to be places where things weren't quite perfect. So we had a long talk about kind of what we would need in order to, at least what our guess is right now, and David saying, you know, by April we don't have much experience, we don't have much experience after a month, so we were kind of guessing. So I've got that data to give to the payroll people. The other part we did is what would it take to staff the increased hours that the board asked for. And I believe, and we did it by name, you know, this person is now a 20-hour LA2, they would go to a 30-hour LA2. This person is, you know, this, they would go to that. Here's a couple of new positions. We need several new positions in order to make it work. Here are the new positions we need. My goal is to get that information to the payroll folks probably Wednesday, because tomorrow I'm in finance director interviews all day. And they'll come back to me with a cost estimate for it, what that's going to cost. That, I can then take that and look at the Y rating. What are we going to save on Y rating? Because now if David went from 30 to 40 hours in the new model, we don't have to Y rate him anymore. So we're going to save that money. So I'm going to be able to do that person by person and figure out what the cost is for Y rating and also the savings for Y rating if we go to the new hours. I cannot have that by Monday night. So March is when I would have the cost, the basic cost of what the new model is going to be. I might have a ballpark figure Monday night. I don't know. Depends what payroll can do for me. So at the March meeting, if we look at that and you guys say, go for it, prepare a budget based on this, yeah, I probably could present a budget in April. We have a budget hearing in April, and then, you know, 2 weeks later we have a special meeting and approve it. My guess is it's not going to be that easy. And that's assuming that's okay with the city, that they can accept that kind of budgeting approval by the board, even though it's not, because it could change significantly once they put it into the system. I mean, things could change. And I'm only asking for the change here, and the delta. I'm not asking for the actual library
personnel. When do you guys approve your budget?
July?
Yeah, it's July. We have 3 days, straight days of hearings.
Put it up, and so...
Yeah, we have 3 days.
There's usually a hearing in June, but it's not usually approved until July.
Yeah, we have the budget hearings in June, and then we have in July is when it's voted on.
The county's the same.
I can tell you the exact dates tomorrow.
So I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying there may be factors almost beyond our control, and I would have to find that out.
Okay. Well, it seems like a lot of the staffing structures could be costed out. Okay. It may not be exact, but it seems like internally you could do that costing to determine what that additional cost is to develop our budget. All right.
And I do hope to help to have that by March.
I could appreciate your constraint if you've just lost 2 fiscal people and you don't have a finance. So. But I don't know. I'm disappointed to read that we're now going to put off the increased hours for 3 months.
I just wanted to be upfront with you from the beginning because, I mean, I know when we did this other restructuring, I just saw what we went through and the process and the city really bent over to make it happen by January. And Helga can attest, how many PAFs is the form you had to fill out? How many did you guys do?
Well, we did one for everyone, over 100, and now we have to do additional ones when people add an on-call position, for example. We need to make changes. PAFs for change in hours, PAFs for home department change, if a person now moves from La Selva to Boulder Creek, for example. We are so buried.
And any change in hours, so if we change staff.
You guys micromanage too much.
No.
It's really,
it's perfection,
I mean,
of the library system.
It's paperwork. I mean, I'm not going to say it's anything else, but it is paperwork. But
well, I don't know what that has to do with the city, though.
They have to process them. And
yeah. It's basically a paper trail to, so the city payroll HR can see what we are doing, where everybody goes at any given moment. And it can be traced back, and it's needed for the finances, and it's needed for the overall plan, because it points directly to the hours each person does, the money they make.
I understand PAFs.
But then you put the place
of work and you put their number of hours.
We do it and then it has to be processed through the city and then there's a lag time. And we're not the only department. And the payroll person for the city, the person in charge of payroll, just got stolen by Capitola to be their finance director.
Well.
So we've lost her too.
Really?
Yeah, Tori. I mean, she's great.
So can we
so we can blame Capitola.
Can we attribute the delay to the city of Capitola?
Yes, I'd say so.
Just because you lost one person? Well, would you guys hadn't taken Juliana from us 2 years ago, we wouldn't have been in that position. So, no, that's...
So would it be helpful maybe to have a side meeting or something where you can, if there's questions about this prior to the library board meeting, just to understand a little bit more in detail what the process is?
There would be, if there were a flow chart and steps, you know. But I'm just not getting that we're delayed because of the city of Santa Cruz's process.
I'd be happy to sit in on that because I don't believe that's the case. I just like to have that discussion so at least we can understand. Well, so it's not, this does not become an issue about delay. It's a matter of doing it right the first time, making sure that when we do implement, that it's one where we're, meet the goals that we had, our subcommittee had, so that we can achieve those increased hours, but done in a way that's, going to be as effective as possible.
I mean, I think, and maybe Helga can speak to this, if there were 6 weeks to get the PAS in, is that enough time? And no Christmas holiday involved?
Yes, we can do it.
I mean, and from the cities, because you got the feedback from the city of what they were...
Well, that's a second step, because if we put them out... We can put them out. We've done days and days of them, and we've got them out on time. But then the delay occurred because they only have one person apparently at the city. It's Debbie Levy, who does the PAF processing. And there were delays, and she was just overworked. And, of course, there was the city closure time in there and the holidays and all this. So
yeah,
6 weeks of no vacation or holiday or whatever interference. I don't know. I can't speak for her. Sheila and I together, we can do it. Yes, we can. But it's...
Yeah, and I don't know. This may be not so much a finance committee issue anyway. Okay. But, it's on this agenda. And so it seems like having a better sense of what the schedule of work is and the time required to reasonably and well do that, and whether or not is there an alternative? Okay. If we were to pass a budget in April or had a special meeting in April, okay, so that the board can kind of either make that choice and that commitment and really discuss it. So.
I can find out about, and Kira's back on Wednesday, that she knows the budget. She knows how to get stuff into the budget. But I would say that we need a minimum of 6 weeks from the time the city council approves, if the board approves a budget, we have to turn around and city council has to approve the staffing. And the board has to approve the staffing as well, because it's going to be changing FTE. It's going to be hiring some new positions. Now, I can make that part of the budget approval, so that same time that you're approving the budget, you're approving those positions. Then it has to go to city council, so you're talking a couple of weeks. So we can start the PAFs.
Let me look into the process.
I would say we're going to need 6 weeks for PAF processing, because we're messed up right now. We've got people who aren't on the payroll system, because things didn't, they dropped off for some reason, and we're struggling.
Well, yeah, that's the one thing that should be taken into consideration, that it's not like anyone's department's effort or ability, I should say.
Yeah.
So
right.
When I say we can do our part, that doesn't mean that the whole process will be
right.
completed, because there are too many people involved, and we all have to work together, and it all goes step by step. So from us it goes to HR, then it goes to payroll, and then it comes back into Kronos, and there have been major dropouts.
Kronos is a timekeeping system.
Oh.
Yeah. Sam, I hear what you're saying. You want to at least have some understanding of the process and not have just a statement up front that we're not going to be able to achieve the service hour increase. So I think maybe it's important to have a discussion on that point on what the potential issues are, and rather than, you know, close it out, at least have a fuller understanding of what the process is moving forward. Is that what you're...
Well, yeah, if I'm going to be convinced that we need to delay the opening till September,
yeah.
Okay, I think I'd like to have a better understanding of what all those steps are that
sure.
you described, Elga, and
mm-hmm.
you described, and so, and if there's bottlenecks that we can somehow undo, that I mean, I'd like to just look and try to make an effort to do that.
Okay, that's what I understood.
I can reword this and say, you know, in order to begin in July, that, and actually July 1, I shouldn't even say July 1, I have to look up the pay periods. We are not starting this again in the middle of a pay period. And I don't know if a pay period starts July 7th or 14th, but it has to be the beginning of a pay period. You have no idea what we put
yes, I do.
The city through
oh.
In the January,
yeah.
with
no,
this
I have
January
a sense
implementation.
Of that.
It was a nightmare, absolute nightmare. And I just can't ask them to do it again. I've got to be sensitive to the realities of the process, and we're not the only game in town. So I'll be with Lisa all day tomorrow. And
yeah, it's just, yeah. And I guess maybe if there's a side, I mean, discussion about to understand what those steps are and like backdating it. I mean, I understand, you know, the situation in the city in terms of resources to kind of push this through, and I've heard even from staff members as far as the difficulty in this first initial increase of hours, you know, what it caused. So, I'm conscious of that. So, but I think that having a fuller discussion so you understand maybe what potential bottlenecks are or what delays there may be would be helpful for the process moving forward for the board, so that it's at least there's some visibility on what those potential issues are.
And I don't know that I can have that by Monday night.
Well, then, does this have
this
to come?
Well,
this,
I don't know that I can
not.
Have that level of detail for you Monday night.
What?
I certainly can't have it by Thursday.
Maybe if I could suggest, if we had a budgeted adoption date of June 4th, it may not be possible to increase the hours on July 1st, but we could have staff come back at a subsequent board meeting to review that. I don't know if you want to suggest that or if it could just be built into the memo.
I mean, the idea here was to kind of just give you guys a heads up that, you know, we have to be realistic of, and I can, like I said, I can reword it and to say in order to implement by early July, I'm not going to say July 1, I have to look it up, I think it's July 7th is in the pay period. the budget would need to be approved most likely by mid-April, and we're still investigating I can try on Thursday to see if I can get a hold of anyone, but that's my first possible time. That's just my resources this week. Like I said,
the other thing that may be important to keep in mind, too, what we just did and what we need to do again if we have to do a whole transition again for everyone, it keeps everything else at bay. The regular workload is just pushed totally onto the back burner when we do these kind of things. There's no time for that. And so that's why I'm wondering, payroll and HR will not be very happy to hear that because their regular workload falls further and further back the more we give them these enormous projects, you know, in a short period on top of each other, so
yeah.
to speak, you know. So we were actually, when we were hearing or thinking about the change would come in September, it felt to us that we would have a little bit of a breather now to catch up all the stuff that had been left behind and a little bit put on the back burner, and now it gives us a time to catch up everything and then attempt the next major project. And by project, I mean the new PAFs, the new changes, and the new scheduling, and so on.
The other issue, not as major, but is there is in the summer we have a lot of vacations,
yeah.
And so we have to cover for those, and then if we have to have increased hours, we're not going to have everybody into their positions. We're going to have a lot more having to cover with subs. And summer just isn't quite as busy, so starting, pushing it to September has a certain amount of, makes a certain amount of sense just in terms of, that's when people start back, they start, you know, getting used to, you know, they, when school starts again. To me it didn't seem that to lose a couple months, given the extent of what we're doing, didn't seem unreasonable.
This is on the agenda, but I mean it's a bigger topic, I think, than just the finances. I mean, in terms of, I mean, we had once had a discussion about phased approaches. I know that kind of went back and forth as far as how, what, you know, the accepted level was.
We discussed the schedule.
Yeah, we did.
You know, quite some time ago.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I understand. But I mean, if there are issues that come to light, I mean, what are the options? How would you like to approach it? No. Just get, put it on the.
I'll bring what I can on Monday. I'm just not going to make unreasonable promises because I just know I know what my week is.
I guess I want to be clear. I mean, because it sounds like it's city personnel, city HR.
Oh,
constraining this, not our own internal staffing and workload. And so, I'm trying to figure out, you know, who are we paying deference to here in order to put off?
I think it is our staff workload, too. I think you heard Helga say that they had to put everything aside in order to make this happen, and they're going to have to do that again, which means having to do it really quickly. If the budget isn't approved till June, but by April this is the way it's looking, they can actually start, you know, they can start doing their work on it. It's when they have to do it all at once, really quickly. It does impact our workload here, and it's not where it is a whole system. It's not just us, but it's just the realism of it.
I hear what you're saying. I'd like to go back to that idea, at least have a discussion. I'd like to understand maybe what are the bottlenecks. Maybe I'd meet, since it is a city, and talk about it and just find out. Because I don't want this to be an issue where we're discussing some unreasonable delay. Because, I mean, I honestly know that with the changes that have gone on in the city, and especially in the library system right now, there's been a depletion of resources that we can always marshal to have some of these tasks accomplished. But I hear you in terms of the commitment that we made as far as the increased hours. We want to make sure that we do our very best to honor that commitment. And if it requires at least a better understanding of where some of these delays are, I think that would be a helpful discussion, because I want there to be some transparency so that you're not feeling that this is just a matter of a delay, an unreasonable delay.
And I have to answer to my constituents,
right?
You know, when it comes up, so I need to have something concrete and specific to tell them. So I don't know what you want to do with this item.
In terms of, does this needs to come before the next?
I need to bring the budget priorities to the board.
Yeah.
The dates are not really part of the priorities.
Yeah.
The priority is really. Three, maintaining cash reserve, achieving the increase in hours, and honoring the other recommendations in the community service model.
So perhaps maybe as part of budget priority number two, there could be, a future discussion on those, you know, the schedule and timeline for implementation.
And I will see what additional information I can have by Monday. I obviously can't have anything for Thursday.
No, I wasn't. I don't think there would be any. It would just be scheduled at a subsequent board meeting.
Okay.
Right?
Well, when you're saying achieving the increased hours is recommended in the community service model, does the community service model have a date in it?
It said July.
Well. I don't think you want to just leave it achieving the increased hours as recommended in the community service model without a proviso, as you've done here, but maybe with some more specifics behind it.
I was thinking in terms of, I didn't know whether or not you needed 2B if you kept 2A, right, achieving the increase in hours was recommended in the community service model. And then with A, an estimate of the total to achieve this increase will be available by the March meeting. At that March meeting, you could have a discussion of the timeline and any sort of impact that there may be, and we could have that discussion at that same
issues.
Time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. So scratching B. I had a separate question,
mm-hmm.
and that's in regards to 3. And I know this is something where you've already kind of limited resources, but just as reserves and personnel exist, to really look at, you know, the ability to use leverage some of the technological resources like the web in ways that maybe we're not doing. And I know that sometimes I was happened to be on the library website and looking at the access to some of the databases and some of the resources there, how we can utilize those better to actually increase online utilization, whether it be through an enhanced website. That may not be possible in this budget year, but I just like to say if there are resources, that not be something that's set aside, because it was a significant discussion point, and I'd like there to be a little bit of kind of emphasis on those where we can kind of look at what we can do when staffing levels and resources permit to kind of program those types of improvements as well.
The community service model budget for next year includes an increase in the amount towards technology, the technology reserve fund, in terms of replacement of computers and that kind of thing, and also includes, I think it was $25,000 for innovation, which could address the kind of thing you're talking about. And our website does need to be
redesigned,
yep.
right? And just
yep.
reorganized. I mean,
yep.
it's really
we,
difficult to access
yep.
certain fields, and it's great. I mean, all the resources that are there, I mean, accessing databases
yep.
and things with your library card.
Well, that's why, you know, I have number 3 in there, because I know that we really, you know, they're committed to the increase in hours, but my understanding is there's also a commitment to the other things in that service model as it was adopted, and I don't want to lose, you know, I don't want those things to be lost track of, lost sight of on those.
Just on that note, over the holidays, I took my kids into the kids section. They love using the computers, but a lot of them are really outdated in terms of the printers are down and stuff. And so, yeah, and it's you know, it's great because when you look at, you know, what's available, the kids like coming here, but sometimes, you know, making sure that I'm sure the staff wants to have, you know, updated equipment for mm-hmm. kids when they're visiting, because, you know, I'm committed to a 10-branch system, and we did the hours as well. But at the same time, you need to have the facilities in a condition and with the materials that are going to be able to support, you know, and encourage new people to come in here.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's the balance that we were kind of struggling with, I think, with these different models. But it's, you know, you want to make sure that also there's some sort of budget line item that looks at making that a reality as well.
And the truth right now is we've got the money for the equipment. We don't have the staff bandwidth to implement. That's our problem in IT right now. And that's a real problem. And that's one of the things we hope will get addressed when we do an IT strategic plan. There's also increasing hours comes with it. Cost
yeah.
beyond just the staffing, but we're going to need somebody
maybe
else.
Maybe we could
IT.
Commit some of our reserve to doing that, since we've kind of accelerated that in our overall plan.
Well, that would be, if we're done on the budget priorities, that could get us to the revised
yeah,
budget.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm done with the other.
Okay.
So
on the revised budget,
yeah.
Yeah. Strike it. So yeah.
Yeah.
yeah
I'll strike
yeah.
it and
right.
I'll and do some rewording.
Well, it's actually just striking B.
But did you want to make a,
and then you
make
can
a statement
verbally,
about dealing
if
with
you want to
discuss the timeline?
Well, I think that there could be either a recommendation or we could discuss it at the board meeting. If you want to, Sam, we could put it in there as this budget priorities. But I think that we already have the recommendation for the hours from the model. We're going to provide the total cost to achieve that at the March board meeting.
And
right.
and
a timeline. That's
and
what I heard. Yeah.
And a discussion of the timeline.
Right.
So, okay, just modify A with a timeline
right.
Right.
for implementation.
Yeah. Actually,
okay.
I'm going
to
take away
to
A and just make it one paragraph.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I was revised. Okay, so revised budget. And what was your thought, Sam? Because we may want to go there.
About the spending some of the reserve on
technology?
Yeah. I hadn't put that in.
Well, I know you're talking about iPads. I think that's great.
Yeah.
We've
got those. So we have some extra money. So what do I want to spend it on? Additional funding. We have an amazing backlog. Very depressing backlog in processing materials because the conversion to the new computer system as well as the conversion to the new model has created a perfect storm, and the back end of the new computer system is what they're working on now, getting running efficiently. So right now they're doing a lot of workarounds. And so I'm recommending that we hire temporary help to catch up processing so we can get items out of this building and onto the shelf. I don't even want to tell you what's waiting, languishing, and it's embarrassing. This material. So my goal is to get us caught up. I've been told this will do it. And then from there, hopefully by then, we'll be into some more efficiencies with the new system, with getting things shelf ready, and we can make sure that it can operate. I know, I am confident we have enough staff in there. It's just that they're not operating at peak efficiency at this point, beyond their control. So that's... I asked the collection people if they want more money to spend on books, and they don't, because we can spend the money on the books, but they're not going to get out. So we need to get them out.
Right.
So we've got the books. So they do want to do book kits, so a little bit for book kits. And we have been using donations for that, and donations take a lot of staff time, and staff time is something we've dropped a lot of. So this would just give us some money to buy some book kits and read-to-me kits. The next one is really a bookkeeping one, but it would be a lot easier if all our databases came up for renewal at the same time. So in order to do that, we'd need to pay a few ahead so that they can all come due next July. So it's just paying that one forward. Then there's one on e-book readers, which...
just on that, Tracy, that's really not an additional expense. You're just kind of maybe...
It's
We're doing it in advance,
and we wouldn't have it. You'd be off of next year.
You could almost consider that not as an additional cost, in the big picture.
The big picture, it's not, but in this year's budget,
right.
It's additional money.
You may want to make a note that it would be an immediate cost now, but there would be savings in future
savings
budgets.
Savings next year.
Pretty much zero out.
Yeah. Staff would like, they're getting a lot of questions from the public on how to use various e-book readers.
Great.
And so we'd like to buy some so that staff
get along.
Can use some.
Some libraries are starting to lend them, and that's something we could look at too, but I'm not sure I think that we will want to look at that. I just don't think we have the staff bandwidth right now
to do it.
I mean, we have to be very sensitive. We're in it's not an easy transition right now. I mean, it's rough.
You know, when I saw this, the one thing I know is some of the different readers are closed in terms of how they allow books to be read or circulated. And I would hope that we don't look at, those types. I know Apple's tend to be open platform for downloads in some cases. You can download a Kindle and others. But what was it? I think it was the Nook was one that...
Actually, the Nook is open.
The Nook is open, okay. But I think one of them, I don't use it. I use an iPad, but I don't... I haven't used any of the other e-readers.
The service that we use, OverDrive, is now, Kindle is now allowing us. So whereas Kindle's been the one that's been really closed, you can, according here because I do it, OverDrive, which is a service we use to get a lot of our e-books, they have an agreement with Amazon and we can get Kindle books for our patrons. So if you have a Kindle, and actually I can read a Kindle book on here,
You could download a Kindle to an iPad,
right?
A Kindle Reader.
Yeah.
But I guess
it's opened up a little bit.
Yeah, because that's the one thing that I know that like some of the different like local bookstores even where you can purchase a book using
Google
Reader,
yeah,
right?
Google
those to be open,
right.
But Kindle doesn't allow that, and it's like I'd really if we are, I mean, these are, I mean, it's more of the kind of philosophy of some of the tech behind the technology.
But the Kindle is able to access the service that we're providing for e-books.
Right, but if you had an iPad and could download a Kindle to it, it's essentially the same thing.
Yeah, but if you had a Kindle Fire, you can use OverDrive to download to it. So you could use a library resource. If you have a Kindle Fire, you can download using library resources.
Okay, so what's the selection process for how we decide what type of technology we invest
staff
in?
Staff would decide what they're being asked for help with.
Okay, so this is just for assistance with people's
This
initiative.
Is for staff.
Okay, so
staff,
it might be a selection
and to demonstrate them to the public. But
might be, you maybe want to, I mean, get different kinds of.
Yeah,
that's
probably
how people
get,
that's
right.
That,
right.
Know,
yeah.
That's great. That's
right,
great.
You know,
mm-hmm.
See
okay.
What works best.
Yeah.
The other one is to look at those capital maintenance projects. The value of the projects that we listed in the budget, we listed them all there, and I guess we were going to pick and choose which ones, and I'm going to make this as Kira's thing when she gets back, was $62,000, and we allocated $40,000. So I'm saying let's just do it all, what's on this list. I mean, this is the list could keep going, but this is one we... So another $22,000 there, and the other area was staff training, which we were pretty much out of our staff training budget, and we still have some things coming up. So some additional money there, which we spent, you know, $13,000 a year on training is pretty low. So a total of $83,000 is what I was requesting, and I wasn't touching IT stuff. Part
of consider more for training.
Hmm? We could take more for training. I mean, I was trying to be conservative here and not, you know, spend it all. The problem with IT right now is without a real IT manager, it's also really hard to do, you know, to even contract for services. I mean, we keep things basic going, but I'm hoping the city council is going to hopefully approve a strategic plan for the city on February 28th. I thought it was January. Maybe
yeah.
We'll get back to February 28th. The RFP is ready to go out at that time. We're in there. So it's still going to be a few more months before we have good direction. So I'd love money for IT, for contracting for some stuff getting done, but I just don't know that we even have the resources to contract for it at this point. But I certainly could.
If you think you may use that,
I
it's the time to ask.
I'd personally like to see, I mean, I know this might be a large number, but up to $50,000 towards a website redesigned. That to me is something that if it's just there as a placeholder, that might be a little.
We should probably get an estimate.
I spoke with someone that does website redesign that's done other work. Ted Holliday.
Yeah.
And he said for a, you know, professional level, you know, redesigning your site, it'd be around $80,000. So,
wow.
A site that, you know, as far as like the one that we have here for the library, because there's, when you look at the level of data that's available there, and the links in terms of how it's organized, it's not an insignificant amount of work. But that was one person. I mean, put it out. I said that's what I'm saying. That would be the entire $25,000. You know, maybe it's just a partial, and you look at doing the section that relates to accessing online data resources. And so it might be. So I mean, that could be a future discussion as far as maybe what element is. Maybe there's something that we do just for kids or youth. You know, online where you're accessing maybe homework resources or something that might already exist.
We could talk to someone we have a good relationship with Ted about if there's a way to phase it.
Yeah.
I don't know about phasing. I will talk to Emily and see if she feels that if there's anything we could contract for to get some other stuff out there for IT. We might actually even have enough budget because we're saving quite a bit by not having the IT manager. We're spending some of that money on network maintenance with Cruzio, but the rest of his salary is being saved. So we're saving close to think the budget was about $40,000. We're saving up his salary for the rest of this year, and we probably won't have somebody before the end of the fiscal year. So I probably have the money to do it.
I think you'll have the money.
I
mean, do you feel you're well enough grounded with the ILS now to discern, what kind of website is going to maximize the functionality of
That part's probably, we can do that.
Okay.
Yeah, we're on back-end stuff on the ILS now. Right. We have to slog through, and still haven't gotten any CERC reports, so I really need those. But I appreciate that, and I will talk to Emily and see if we feel we need to put some money in here, or do we think we have some. And we'll talk to Ted, too.
That'd be great.
We may want to work that into next year's budget.
Well, I just put it out there, and we'll see. I mean, as a discussion point, even just for...
I think if there's more training that staff could utilize, this may be the time. I mean, if we might as well put it in. This is a modest amount.
I thought it was, too.
And with everything going on, and we have this additional money, you're not spending anywhere near, how much additional. So
okay.
Go ahead and put more in there for training. I think that's important use of.
I'm cheap. frugal,
not cheap.
Yeah, I don't know if this is an appropriate time, but I was even thinking in terms of just hearing, feedback as far as, that there's a monumental change in terms of adjusting the operations and staffing and the transition was made. If you've done anything like I don't know if this is even something based on library culture they like, but to do some sort of thank you or something where recognition or whether it be a lunch for someone or,
Well, we have staff day on the agenda on Monday. For Monday, we're going to ask to close April 27th for staff day, for service day.
Maybe put a line item for something for recognition. I don't know whether or not you budget for that, but.
I could add staff development and recognition to some money, and it could be. That's going to be the first time we're all going to be able to get together and really breathe and see how things, where are we? So that
celebrate while you get
celebrate. We do. We need to celebrate.
Yeah,
because it's phenomenal what they've done.
Yeah.
And what they're doing every day.
So I don't know. I mean, what do you think is reasonable? But I just think it might be a small amount, but I think it really makes a difference.
It always pays dividends.
Yeah.
Okay. I will incorporate that.
And just on the same point, I mean, I ask that we have our board meetings rotate to external locations so that we can actually obtain feedback. And I don't know what we do in terms of kind of advertising or at least publicity to let the public know in those areas that we're going to be meeting here. And I would hope as one of the budget items the line items for the agenda, we talk about feedback regarding increased hours or at least hearing from people in these areas to say, hey, is this something that's been beneficial for you to have these hours? Or, talk about maybe some of the offsets in terms of, what kind of services might have no longer be there, just to hear directly from each of these areas where we've gone through this change to see how they feel about them. I feel that's important.
One of the things that we subscribe to this year, and we're still working on implementing it, it's been a staff resource issue again, is something called counting opinions, and it's going to handle statistics as well as they'll do surveys, satisfaction surveys. And what you can do is if you load them on the website and you can say every nth user gets offered to take a survey, and we can also do the surveys in print. But anyway, we have that mechanism available to us. It's just been a matter of the staff resources to figure it all out because it's very complicated. Once again, I'm hoping Kira's going to be very busy when she gets back. So we do have a mechanism to get out to the public and find out what they're thinking, but we just haven't been able to take advantage of it.
That's all.
I feel like I say that a lot, but it's been a roller coaster. Okay.
That's it. Thanks. That was it, right? Covered it all? meeting adjourned. The next meeting is February the 27th, and there'll be a permanent chair here at that time.
We, on the agenda is opening up to who wants to be on here, and...
Oh, is this a separate? I thought we...